Welcome to At the Organ.
Hello, I'm Jim Logue, and thank you for listening to At the Organ. Next month is the 6th annual East Texas Pipe Organ Festival taking place in Kilgore, Texas. This festival is a celebration of the work of Roy Perry, evident in the Aeolian Skinner pipe organs found mainly around East Texas and northern Louisiana that he and the Williams family from New Orleans helped to create. The festival takes place each year at several churches in that area, but the primary site is First Presbyterian Church in Kilgore. Roy Perry was the organist of that church for 40 years, beginning in 1932. We're talking today with festival organizer Lawrence Macher, who is also the current organist of First Presbyterian Church in Kilgore, about this year's festival and also why Roy Perry and these instruments have made such an impact in the organ world. From the sanctuary of First Presbyterian, Lawrence talks to us about who Roy Perry was.
He was the organist here at First Presbyterian from 1932 to 1972. And in a period, I would say from 1948 to 68, he was the area representative for Aeolian Skinner. And he, working with the Williams family of organ builders from New Orleans, worked with Aeolian Skinner on the installation of many of their finest instruments in Texas, Louisiana, a few in Oklahoma, Mississippi, Tennessee, and there's one in Virginia as well. So I've never counted them up, but because we have such a large number of them here in this small area, relatively small area between Kilgore, Longview, Texas, and then Shreveport that he designed. He was also their tonal finisher. We're based here in Kilgore, which is the one most associated with him since he spent most of his career here in Kilgore. And he refined this organ many times throughout his career. In fact, we have correspondence between him and G. Donald Harrison. G. Donald Harrison is saying, we want to put you on salary. And he'll say, no, instead of that, send me a flute celeste instead. The whole thing got started between Roy Perry and G. Donald Harrison. In the original church, there was a 1932 Pilcher. Then when Roy Perry got here, about 3 years later, they installed a much larger molar. And then there was so much oil here in town, and the property started to sink, so they condemned that property and moved down here, brought the old organ with them. And then in 1948, Mr. Perry went to Molar again to enlarge the organ here at the current church, which was built in 1939. Molar said that they were too busy after World War II. So he went to G. Donald Harrison, and that's the way this whole thing began, because Mr. Harrison said they could build the organ, but they couldn't install it. So Roy Perry said, well, the people who have been working on the organs here for years now are the finest in the South, and I trust them with anything. So Mr. Harrison said, fine. And so the Williams family from New Orleans, there's a father, wife, and son, and his wife, and Nora, the daughter-in-law, is the only one still living. Of the entire team. They got the organ installed. Mr. Harrison came down and saw it, and he said, well, there's nothing that we could have done any better. We're about to put in an organ at Longview. Can you do that one for us too? So this one is Opus 1173 here at the Presbyterian Church in Kilgore. The one over in Longview is Opus 1174, and then down the street here we have Opus 1175. So and at some point they were all three in the factory at the same time.
Thank you.
was rebuilt in 1966. I shouldn't say rebuilt, it was refurbished, and there were some additions made. These exposed grate pipes were added. The harmonic spitz flute celeste, which is Roy Perry's own invention, was added to the choir. And then the carillon mixture, which is in the swell, was his own invention, and he designed that to sound like breaking glass. So this is the first one of those two inventions here in here in Kilgore. He subsequently put them in organs in Laurel, Mississippi, and First Baptist in Chattanooga. I'm sure there are others, I just can't think of them offhand. His first boss, of course, was Mr. Harrison, Gene L. Harrison, and he actually did call him boss. And he called himself Periola. Their relationship was great. After Mr. Harrison died, the presidents and tonal directors of A.L. and Skinner didn't see quite eye to eye with Roy Perry, and so sometimes they would agree to do something, the factory would, and then what would arrive here or wherever would be not what he had specified for, so they would actually, they would alter the scaling on, especially the mixtures and strings, so that they were actually unrecognizable, as opposed to what arrived here. St. Mark's in Shreveport, Nora Williams said that she was their electrical wiring person, but she also did cut-ups for them, so they would draw the cut-ups, and they locked her in the choir room, she said, for 2 months, cutting up pipes. So that when Joseph Whiteford, who was then the president and tonal director, arrived at Shreveport, he was furious because it wasn't the organ that he had sent here, because Roy Perry had completely redesigned it from top to bottom.
This year's festival begins November 6th and runs for 5 days. This year's festival is dedicated to the memory of William Watkins, who was director of music and organist at Georgetown Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C. from 1956 to 1997. The festival features a number of performers and locations.
I think this year we have 6 concerts here at First Presbyterian. Starting the first night is Richard Elliott, the organist of the Mormon Tabernacle. On Monday, we have 2 concerts here. A young, recently graduated high school student who is a student of Scott Detra's and is the organ scholar at Church of the Incarnation in Dallas. His name is Henry Webb. He's playing a big program here on Monday afternoon. Then Susan Foray is playing an all-French program Monday evening. We come back to Kilgore on Wednesday. Our opening concert on Wednesday is Joseph Adam, who's the organist at St. James Cathedral in Seattle. He's going to play the complete works of Durafley. This is the first time we've had them, all of them in one concert, so that'll be a really blockbuster program. That night we have a silent movie, which is The Mark of Zorro, starring Douglas Fairbanks, and Walt Stroney is our organist for that. Walt has played for us twice. Our second year, he played a very fine solo recital that he called a crossover. It was half classical and then half of his own arrangements of pop things, and it showed how versatile this organ is. It truly can do anything. Roy Perry actually started off his career as a theater organist, and so it's appropriate for us to have a silent movie here every year since that's how he began his career. Our closing concert is back here again, and that's Fred Swan. Fred is going to play the exact program that he played 50 years ago in 1966 for that rededication of the organ. It includes Francis Jackson Fanfare, the Bach Prelude and Fugue in E-flat, Sowerby Very Slowly from Sonatina, some pieces by Pepping, and then he's closing with a Willen introduction, Passacaglia and Fugue. And believe this or not, Fred has announced that this is going to be his final public appearance as a recitalist. So it's going to be truly a once-in-a-lifetime event. we have buses for our registered guests to go out of town to Longview, which is the next in the Opus list. That's First Baptist. It was made famous, I would say, by a couple of recordings that Catherine Crozier made in the 1950s. She recorded the Sowerby Symphony there, as well as another LP of American music. And so one of the concerts we're having there this year is David Baskeyfield playing the Leo Sowerby Symphony, which as far as we know is the first time it's been played there in 60 years. And he is going to stay over for a couple of days extra and do a commercial recording of it for us. So this will be the first commercial recording of that organ made in 60 years since Catherine Crozier did hers back in the 50s. So that's also going to be a special event. David also has recently discovered the manuscript of a score that Marcel Dupré made, a transcription of the Dukas Sorcerer's Apprentice. So he's going to give his own world premiere of his own discovery. He found it in the Sibley Library at Eastman School of Music. So he's going to give the world premiere performance at that concert. That's on Thursday. That morning, Andrew Reisinger is going to play a concert for us. He's the organist for the Nashville Symphony and at West End Methodist Church in Nashville. There are spots available. The interesting thing is all of our concerts are free of charge and open to the public. On our website, there are two registration forms. You can register for Plan A or for Plan B. Plan A is for people who need transportation, people who are flying here, who want to ride along in the buses. We have two buses. And then Plan B is for people doing their own transportation but want to have meals. And we have two or three private events, and they're included in that.
One of the festival's other projects is the restoration of historic recordings of these organs, particularly the King of Instruments series produced by Aeolian Skinner Company. The festival has managed to acquire all of the original recording session tapes and is slowly releasing these albums for sale.
Just because I was introduced to those first two volumes by my first teacher, I've acquired them through the years. There was a used record store in New York where I bought most of mine for 15 cents called Academy Records. And I always wondered, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could get this, regenerate this, and find the tapes? And then I found out that they did exist on the East Coast at that time. And it's not anyone's fault. You know, organs just like anything else. Organ design goes in and out of favor, and at that point, 20, 25 years ago, no one would think of honoring G. Donald Harrison, much less E.M. Skinner. So they weren't interested. So as time went by, E.M. Skinner came back into favor. Now everyone wants E.M. Skinner, and gradually people started thinking G. Donald Harrison's not so bad after all, and they said, well, we're not really interested in reissuing these tapes, but if you are, good luck. So I had them all transferred, or transferred them myself, and have been putting them out gradually over the past 4 years, I guess. We've got out volumes 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 is the next one to come out, which is Richard Purvis' album from Grace Cathedral. And right now, that's not just a matter of time, but it's financing as well. You know, when you put these things out, you also have to pay for licensing fees for everything. So it's not just the reproduction, but in the time, you have to hire a graphic artist to do the booklet, pay for licensing fees for the things, and for anything that's not in public domain, and then pay for replication, and then no one buys them. So, you know, I've got thousands and thousands of CDs that people through the years have said, wouldn't it be wonderful if Catherine Crozier's volumes came out? Well, they're out now, and no one's buying them.
Well, you can purchase these albums. They are available for sale on the festival website, easttexaspipeorganfestival.com. There you can also find out about the festival and purchase other related memorabilia, including the Roy Perry Cookbook, a collection of recipes assembled by the organist. This festival is your chance to hear Fred Swan in concert for the last time on this historic organ and to attend a world premiere of a transcription by Marcel Dupré. You don't have to register to attend the concerts, but registration gets you into private social events, and you have the option for transportation between the concert sites. A full schedule of the events, including some concerts not mentioned here, is available on the festival website. Again, that's easttexaspipeorganfestival.com. The official hotel is the Kilgore Comfort Suites, with a special rate, and additional rooms are available at Kilgore Hampton Inn. Flights are available to the Kilgore Longview Airport, or from Tyler Pound's Regional Airport, with transportation to the festival available. My thanks today to Lawrence Macher. We'll hear more from Lawrence in a future episode about the Aeolian Skinner organs of East Texas and Louisiana. This episode of At the Organ was produced by Brent Johnson. You can subscribe to At the Organ on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher to be sure you hear our latest episodes. I'm Jim Logue. Thank you for listening.
Been listening to At the Organ. We'd love to hear your comments about the show. Send your email to info@attheorgan.com, or just go to our website where you can comment on the show. There you can also hear this show again or find back episodes. The address is attheorgan.com. At the Organ is a production of the Organ Media Foundation. For more information about supporting the Foundation or sponsoring an episode of At the Organ, go to organmedia.org. Thank you for listening.